One of the things that there's some residue of the weekend is that there was resentments and envyings that, you know, well, if Louis doesn't have to talk, how come you keep making me talk? If this is this way, then how come, you know, it was like this idea of comparing.
Yeah. How weird.
And if there are any of you that have any remnant of that within you, it's best to get rid of it very quickly. Because remember, the process that always takes place is that you give an inch of land back, and then God leaves you to your own devices.
I'm not giving no fucking land back.
That's right. Okay. You understand?
Yeah.
It's either total grace or total law.
Yeah.
So the fact of if there is any envying or resentments or whatever it is, they're all alliances of one sort or another.
Yeah.
And then just speak them. It's not your job to worry about whether you should have them or not. That doesn't matter. The issue is that it be spoken. Let me read something quickly. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Something you want to share with the group?
Gerald's expression.
What was it?
All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, all the tables that you've ever eaten at in your life are full of pre-digested food. In other words, that's the whole idea of the Sanhedrin. All the things that you've ever done to gain life, to gain sustenance is why you eat. They're all full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. There is not a clean table on the face of the earth. You understand? Now, what's the alternative to that? Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For until then, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's what you've done. That's what you've done with the knowledge that you have in your head about life. That's what you've done with the doctrine. That's what you've done with things with regard to God. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept.
Yeah.
Little here a little, there a little. Go here, get a little here, a little there. That's all right. Until now. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." What? This new table, this new place. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, until that they might go, not until, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The word of the Lord is unto you all these things until you can go forward, fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, and this is a biggie, you have said, "We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement." Now, do you know anybody to be dumb enough to say that? I've made a covenant with death, and with hell am I at agreement?
the devil take your soul kind of stories and stuff.
When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, because we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. You always believe, well, we've talked about this before, you believe in social Darwinianism. You believe in the evolution of the species, namely you. You are convinced in your mind that things are going to get better. You understand why that's an agreement? You've made a covenant with death and with hell. Are you at agreement? Your mind is so structured to make you incapable of picking up the cross until the sin of the Amorite is fulfilled, is what it talks about in Genesis. You've got to emotionalize what I'm about to say, or this whole doctrine of the cross, the idea that I am determined and nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now you must be in that same position. You can know nothing about anyone else except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Otherwise you're going to continually be deceived. Especially now that we've begun this process. You have made a covenant with death, and with hell you are at an agreement. The reason you have made that, and this is the covenant and the agreement that the human race has made, and it is this inherent, endemic, vital, necessary belief system that you have, that you're going to get better, that your situation is going to improve by taking certain actions, or by becoming educated, or by going to the doctor, or by doing anything, that in the passage of time your situation is going to get better. This is a rough one. This will kill you. To understand that your belief system that's in the secret places of your closet that says it's going to get better is an agreement with hell. If anything that you're thinking about requires the passage of time for your fantasy to become true, i.e. get better, then with hell are you at an agreement, and death you're in covenant with. Can you all emotionalize that a little bit? This is awesome. Now, we have an example. We watched a man have his heart cut out. It was only when he was at rest about the outcome, about his present status, that life was revealed. I mean, he's become an amazement to his doctors. Hear me again. You have made a covenant with death. And this isn't talking about the world. The world, you can tell them that for 100 years and they'd never understand it. This is talking about to people who have gone through a process of time, and that to them the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. This is ones that have said, you've heard the words, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the only refreshing. This is the only table. This is the only source of life. And yet you would not hear. The reason you cannot hear is because you have made a covenant with death, and with hell you are at agreement. You got it? Is there anybody that doesn't understand it? This is big. Now, in one sense, the hot seats are simply an arena where you can see. If you ever hear me talk to you about you becoming more at peace, better, by taking certain actions, kill me. You secretly believe the next, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. It won't come unto me, because I believe in my heart, deep down in the secret closet, that things are getting better. For we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. And what lies have you made as a refuge? The problem is almost your whole life is a lie. It's like we're back to that same problem. A fish can't describe the ocean. Consider these things. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because of all that, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested, tried stone, a precious corner, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That's a... This is a direct reference to one of the plagues. And that's what the reason we're looking at this, and the reason we're going through the high places, the reason we're going through the asset time, and all this stuff, is because we're in preparation for Passover. The reason that you shall not make haste is because the plague of the hailstones, they're 97-pound hailstones. And they destroyed Egypt. They didn't touch Israel. I mean, some of the bitter dogs were left out. But the true Israel wasn't touched by the 97-pound hailstones. Therefore, when the hailstones, when the exposure of your refuge of lies begins, you don't make haste. You don't flee. Understand?
Why is it that you don't flee?
Because you've got a tried stone, a foundation, a sure foundation, a precious corner. It's your life. Mm-hmm. Nothing can touch you. All right. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Oh, that's what it says. I forgot it said that. And the waters of judgment shall overflow your hiding place. Now, you want to know why... I mean, this is why hot seats make you nervous.
I feel like the incredible wax man, and you know, every time I come here, you do nothing to drip more wax on top and make me bigger somehow. It's like you just melt me more and more. You
know? Why didn't you come here?
I don't know. Ask me your mom.
Your covenant, the reason you come here, is so that your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand.
Amen. Sure it isn't. It is.
He makes a good straight man. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled. That's what the process of preaching is. Preaching has one function, and that's to disannul your covenant with death. and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. Yeah. You don't want to be trodden down. But you want to be trodden, but Christ wants you to. You want to be trodden down because in your weakness, his strength is revealed. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Now, what that means is it shall be a vexation until the time that you understand doctrine. You remember the question that was asked at the start? Is whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? All of these things that I've just described the process of being weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. You can't read this shit to the people that aren't in a body, because they don't know what it means.
You've been born yet.
Babies. Not even babies, they're still sperm cells.
You've been born yet.
I just said, so what? So I'm off.
Okay.
I got a Jake.
All right. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. God short sheets you. The bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself. In other words, when you try by your own strength to achieve a state of rest, the bed that you choose will always be shorter than you are. So you can't find rest. Again, that's the way you're made. It doesn't do any good to think about it. No matter how much you think about it, the more you try to expand the length of the bed, the more the length of you that needs the rest will expand. Unfortunately, it's not the part of you that's the scepter.
Are you pleased with yourself?
For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Have you ever had the experience, like I did Sunday night, I'm freezing my butt off, and every time I turn over, there's a part of me that gets uncovered. You hate that.
It's almost as bad as sleeping with Ed.
Yeah.
Or Tim.
All right.
That's a funny picture.
For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act.
Awesome.
Now you got to my part of the Bible.
What do those places mean? What do those places mean? Gibeon or whatever.
Perazim and Gibeon. Mm-hmm. They are simply two places where God did wild stuff, and I can't remember enough to describe it to in any detail. You can look it up easily.
God kicks in butt.
Now therefore,
where are you, by the way?
Isaiah 28.
Okay.
Now therefore, be ye not mockers. Now what does that have to do with anything?
Good question.
Be ye not mockers in the midst of all this.
Are you mocking?
You mock by inside you believing in any particular area that God has forsaken you. Because you're saying, where is the evidence of his presence? You understand? That's what a mocker is.
I don't see it.
A mocker is for you to believe there's a particular area of your life for which he has forsaken you. That's big time. You don't want to do that anymore. That's real dumb. Now, and you can't compare. In other words, you can't compare yourself to another vessel to say, well, that person is that way, Because if therefore I should be that way, because in that act of comparison you are mocking. You're saying within you where is the evidence of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
It's good and evil stuff. It's amazing how fast you can set yourself down with that.
Be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. You don't want your bands to be made strong. You don't want your bondage to get any worse than it already is. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole land. I have heard a consumption. I don't want to be bound during the time, the consumption is a word which means disaster. And the reason this can be said in every generation is in every 50 years throughout history, there's a disaster of epic, it's a world-class disaster.
Dallas needs one of those.
Except for where my house is.
You can try.
Be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I've heard from the Lord of hosts a disaster even determined upon the whole earth. You got it? You got the picture?
Yeah, right. Put your house up on blocks.
Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? You understand what he's saying? He went, the metaphor has become a disaster upon the whole earth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the picture of that is a plowman or a farmer plowing his fields.
The earth is cracked open.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
But even the fields aren't plowed the same way for the different, exactly this, for, you know, because it says that thing, some, like with the fitches, he just throws them out. He scatters the cumin. Cast the principal wheat and the appointed barley and rye in their place. But some of these require the plowman. Some of them you just throw out in the ground. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the barley's business to define the system or the method by which the fitches are planted.
Yeah. We've talked about that.
Well, we've talked about, now this, we haven't talked about the planting of them. What brought this up in my mind, other than what we're going to get here in a minute in this alliance stuff, is Harry and Bloom have a constant battle. Up until lunch. Harry met me, and in terms of the persona of what in his mind was the doctrine, it was, the first time he met me, it was like, I sat across the table from him in the conference room and glared at him, and he hated me. And 8 years later, he still hated me. But it was been violence and explosions, and I'm always saying stuff to destroy him and crush him.
And you know what? I said this to Rex in the car. For me, in that position, anything other than that has been you denying your faith.
Yeah. But with Bloom, it was a long, slow process starting in 1978 when he moved into the office down the hall from me and we just started talking. And you know, it was just a... And so Harry, now the issue is the radio program, right? So Harry is convinced that the radio program, or was convinced, should be explosions, nothing but, you know, insulting everybody all the time. Bloom's idea of the radio program is that it should be more logical and peaceful and gentle and et cetera, et cetera. Well, both of them are true and neither one of them is true. But the point is that God used a different way with Bloom than he did with Harry, and a different way with Louis than he did with Pete. And I mean, it's not our business. And the metaphor is, it's not up to the judge the way in which this takes place. The planning. We're just planning now.
I remember one time Butch came to me and he goes, I can't capture his exact words. There was something like this. God damn, God makes me crazy. He fucks up my life. He makes my wife throw me out. Blah, blah, blah. And he goes on there, he gives you a job. He gives you a scholarship and you marry this girl. I mean, it's not fair.
Yeah.
I started stomping up and down.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing.
No form.
Glad I'm not you.
No, you didn't.
Well, God, I'm sticking with it.
When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley and rye in their place? For his God, the farmer, doth instruct him to discretion.
Wisdom.
Doth teach him wisdom. For the that's the planting. Now we go to the harvesting. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument. Neither is a cart wheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. Red corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working.
I think that they say that at the end. It's a red chip. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
I'm the grain that requires bludgeoning.
Scratch this.
This thing, what you're just saying, I'm serious. It's like Rex. If Rex got mad at Angela, because Angela's operation was an appendix operation, his was an
open heart.
And it's also like him trying to stay awake and tell the heart searchers how to do it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's
probably gone. Let me see your stitches. She goes.
Do you understand, though, the idea, the thing that I want you to take away is the idea that you don't have to play the world or the mind of the Gentiles game anymore to be don't make a covenant with death and don't be in agreement with hell. Don't fall into the trap, because it'll deceive you and you'll give that land, that high place land, back to the enemy. You don't want to do that. Don't fall into the trap. See now that you're the most fortunate of all people. Amen. Not tomorrow, not because some circumstance changes. Now the test of that is your desires. You know, you're always desiring that your condition be changed. But if your desires, that's what tests this. I mean, that's the, you know, that's the acid being poured out onto the ore to refine the gold. You don't have to give breath to the acid. Can you understand me? You know, most of you hear me say God's going to give you the desires of your heart, so what you do, rather than focus your attention on God, you focus it on the desires.
Yeah.
And you try to make God your errand boy in those desires. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be made unto you automatically with no effort.
You like that.
You don't have to you know your desires are confusing you. They're the acid.
I've never looked at it that way, that the desires are the acid.
That's what tests the contentment.
That's the first time that hasn't seemed confusing to me. It's the first time.
Because you got three green bears.
Do me a favor.
Hey, big guy.